Welcome to the 5-Year You Podcast, a show dedicated to helping you become the best version of yourself one day at a time. I'm Andrew.
And I'm Kat, and we promise to keep it raw, real, and relatable.
Are you ready to grow? Hi, Five Tribe. It's Andrew from 5-Year You, and today's episode is called Expression, Not Depression. It comes from a quote that I heard somewhere recently, and for the life of us, we cannot figure out where it came from, but I hope we figure it out at some point. Thank you to whoever came up with it. What are you doing today, Kat?
Good.
I'm consistent.
Yeah. If you're just tuning in, this is a theme where we hear good ideas and good quotes, but shoot, just can't remember where they came from. I mean, I know this one came from Andrew because he told it to me, and I said, ooh, that'd make a good podcast episode, and I scribbled it on a sticky note and had it on my desk. So that's how official we're doing things around here, and welcome to the show.
Welcome. So I really loved this when I heard it. It really did strike a chord deep inside me. And when I was, so if you don't know my history, I had a few rough years and come out of it. And one of the things that really helped me was my friend gave me this visual, and he said, everybody wants to tend to the person who is on the floor crying or angry. They want that will garner attention. But the little child that is in the corner and sad, but not expressing it, never really gets tended to. And it's only when we can start expressing our emotions that we actually can get help. But I think a lot of us are really afraid to express ourselves because it's an unknown. We don't know how it's going to be received by the person we're expressing ourselves to. We don't know if it's going to be a good vibe or a bad vibe, if we're going to be rejected. But from what I have seen, the more you keep in, the harder it is on yourself. So by expressing yourself, you start to let out all the emotions that are inside of you. And that has done wonders for me with depression and anxiety, and to a place where it's radically transformed my life to know that I can express myself to people and that they'll listen and that it'll be received. Kat, what's your experience been with this?
Yeah, I mean, I have been guilty of being too expressive, right? I tend to say what I'm feeling and bothering me and what's on my mind. I've never been very good at being passive aggressive. I hate the feeling inside of me when feelings are trapped. I think that there are a lot of people and relationships, whether it's with family members or romantic relationships or even people at work, where you just, maybe you have just this simmering resentment. And I just don't have a problem with confrontation. And I think confrontation has a very negative connotation. But I just, as a very sensitive person, cannot stand to have those feelings inside of me. Having all of it built up, that's what makes me feel sad, depressed, and anxious. But when I speak my truth, it's almost like I'm getting that feeling out of my body. What I need to work on always, it'll probably take me a few lifetimes, is just like the delivery of it all. But I have just noticed this to be true. I never understood, even talking to friends and stuff like that, well, why don't you just tell your husband that's bothering you? Or why don't you like bring that up to your mom or your sister? Like just let them know that hurt your feelings instead of pretending like everything's okay. But maybe other people don't sense things like I do. Like I could walk into like a family Thanksgiving and I could cut the tension with like a knife, even though everyone's like, oh, is everything? Like I just... the way that I am personality wise is just like such a sensing personality that I just have to be open with things. Have I been depressed before in life? Yes, of course. Do I suffer from anxiety? Yes, on the daily. I can't imagine how much worse it would be if I kept it all inside.
You know, something came in. Thank you for your honesty with that, of course. We always appreciate, I think, one of the things that we really do bring is it being raw, real, and relatable. And I think the more vulnerable we can be with our listener, that they can understand that the stuff you're feeling isn't unique to you. It's their human emotions. So when you were sharing that, I did have the thought, because I think you are really good at sharing how you feel. And I like that. It's a good example, because I have tended my life to be the opposite. And I think most of us have tended to hold it in for whatever reason. I think, you know, if everybody as a kid, if you think back when you got hurt and, you know, like maybe you're told to suck it up or keep it inside or whatever, all those things boil up inside of you. And then as you kind of go through life, you know, you probably have some more things that influence you to just keep it inside. But Catherine, the fact that you are able to express yourself on the daily, positives, emotions, negative emotions, neutral emotions, whatever you want to label them, really does speak to your character and your growth, because that is the healthier way to be.
I think it just depends on who you are, you know, and I think it just depends on who you're with. In a previous relationship, my ex used to say, like, the best thing about Catherine is you always know what she's thinking. And the worst thing about Catherine is that you always know what she's thinking, you know, so I'm working on it. You know, I realize that not everybody is this way. I learned it in therapy a long time ago. I remember sitting in a therapist's office and I'm just trying to like keep the tension down. I was like, you know, if I say this, this person will be upset, and then this person will be upset, and then this family member will be upset. And she said, you are keeping so much inside, and by trying to like please everybody and make sure no one else feels tension, you are holding all of the tension. You are holding it so that no one else has to feel it. And that's not fair to you. And that's a lot of what therapy is, just sort of learning how to care for yourself and your body. And kind of ever since then, I'm like, well, I guess I just can't fake it anymore. You know, it's just something I learned. And I think it's for better, for worse. It's just you get what you get. Like I said, need to work on my delivery, but here we are.
I think it's a positive, personally. I think that when you are looking, we've all met a ton of people, and some people, you know what they're thinking because they share it with you, and other people will keep you guessing. And sometimes it's because they just don't know how to share. And other times it's, it can be a way of control, and other times they just don't know how to. So I think the fact that you do it is a good thing. There are multiple ways to express yourself. So if you're listening to this right now and you're thinking like, I don't have that person to talk to. I just, you know, the people in my life are all shut down emotionally. And if I go talk to somebody, I'm going to feel probably worse, because I'm going to be going to them with the expectation that some sort of need is going to be met. What I would advise to you is, if you have that, there are hotlines that you can call to talk to people. But if you're really like at a point where you're really, really afraid of rejection, and I know that feeling, because I think that's kind of how I started out with this, it helps to just say it out loud in a room by yourself. Mm-hmm. It helps to get that expression out of you, to say like, I am angry, I am upset. One of the things that we just learned, actually, was it yesterday, is that when you use the third person to describe yourself, apparently there's been studies that show that it actually lessens the impact of the feeling on yourself. So, you know, if I'm saying Andrew is feeling tired, Andrew is frustrated, Andrew is angry, these are all things that, you know, even when I say it, not that I'm feeling frustrated or angry right now, but even saying it, that depersonalization does help with the expression. So if you're at that place where you can't even express it, use yourself in the third person. It might help. But
my God, you sent me that yesterday. And yeah, I was like, okay, that's cool. And you texted back, Andrew thinks so too. And I was like, oh no, what is this started? Like, how long is this going to last? Like, is this going to be like a once a day kind of thing? And I was just like, no, No.
Andrew's not sure how long it's going to go, but Andrew's enjoying the conversation around it. No, I'm just kidding. Look.
Are you feeling incredibly overwhelmed and burned out and like you aren't even sure what to do with the rest of your life? We absolutely understand, and we've been there. That is why Andrew and I are starting a coaching program called 5 Weeks to Future You. We'd love to tell you more about it. We're actually offering free calls so that you can meet us, chat with us, and learn about our program and our framework so you can see if it's the right fit for you. Just go to 5yearyou.com and schedule a call. We are only going to accept 5 people at a time to make sure you get all of the attention you need. So if it's something you're interested in, please set up a call as soon as possible. And we're really looking forward to meeting you.
I'm always for any kind of new thing that is going to help. And I did find that one to be somewhat helpful. I had a few tense conversations with people last night and just through the day. And it was like, it helped to depersonalize my experience. Kind of like you were talking, this is a complete side, but like you've done something similar to that of the depersonalization with stuff at the house, like with the troll that
oh my gosh, you can't just say that and then not explain.
Like, you'd be better off explaining it. But this is my point, is like sometimes we just, maybe we can't be first person with this. So by third personing it, it does give us a bit of distance. Go ahead, Kat. Yeah. Explain what's going
on. Yeah, I mean, we can't just say you do that at your house with the troll and then move on.
Sorry.
There's the snort laugh we all love. I just felt like I was on my kid's case, like all the time, like pick up this and pick up that. And so I heard this tip from this woman on Instagram, and she said that she has a troll in her house and it depersonalizes it. And so we named our troll Seymour. He does all kinds of things, like take the family size pack of goldfish and leave it on the couch and all these different things. He is very naughty. And at the end of the day, instead of like just being on my kid's case all the time, I can say, hey, let's go through the house together, the three of us, and let's see what Seymour messed up and let's put it right. And it's just like so annoying. And so I'll ask like my daughter, be like, oh my God, can you believe what Seymour did in the kitchen? Have you been in there yet? And she's like, oh my God, he needs to learn some manners, you know, whatever. And so it makes it kind of funny. And this person said that she does that with her husband to just sort of tease and about dishes in the sink and stuff like that. It just lightens the mood a little bit.
Yeah,
track, but like I said, you can't say someone has a troll in their house and not explain. So there you go, a little twofer. Yes.
So thank you for explaining the troll.
You're welcome.
I think when we're looking at expressing ourselves, there is more than one way to express ourselves. And you know, I think words is the one that we commonly use, but you can emote, like you can laugh, you can cry, you can pound a pillow if you're angry. Like there's a bunch of different ways to express yourself. And the name of this episode is Expression, Not Depression. We want you to find healthy ways to express yourself so that you don't feel the burden of keeping these emotions inside. So what have been some of the ways you have helpfully expressed yourself, Kat, besides using your voice, which we've covered?
I definitely tears and crying and a lot of journaling and things like that. And I also wanted to say, I know we were talking about, you know, having a safe person to express yourself to, but just carving out time and just allowing yourself to cry in the shower is also a good place to start. Andrew just read The Body Keeps Score, which had a very serious impact on you. That was a tough book to get through, but
it's hard.
But it was like really enlightening as well. And you should probably explain it more than me, but it's about how our trauma and the things that bother us really get stored in our body and how bad that is for us, right?
Yeah, it's a long book. So my glimmer was going to be the other book because this one kind of builds on that. But The Body Keeps Score, really quick, it's a 16-hour book. So really quickly, our bodies, when we don't express something, the emotion gets stored in our body somewhere, and it can show up in different places. And they found through soldiers with PTSD that there was these recurring things, and that they needed to find ways to healthily release them. For some of us, like, we might feel it in our shoulders when we're shouldering people's burdens and we can't express ourselves. For other people, it might be the back, the legs, the butt is another one that can store a lot of emotion. And it's really fascinating because we tend to think that once an experience has happened to us, it's like, oh, that was in the past. But if our body wasn't able to relax after it and return to a baseline, then that trauma gets stored in your body. And I know for myself, from my childhood, there's been a lot of stored trauma in my body. And I've been learning about, like the windows of tolerance for different types of fight, flight, freeze, appease. Like, there's just all these different things that our bodies do as a safety mechanism. But if we don't know what our body is doing, we are going to keep repeating that same loop. So if somebody comes to you and says something critical of you, you might, a normal healthy way of handling that, and I say normal because I don't really know, but would be to be like, that hurt, that's okay, that's their opinion, I could probably do better with that, moving on. Trauma response, they could get angry, they could run away, and they might be doing that right in front of you while it's happening, or they might freeze because they don't know how to react. And this is their body's childhood that is kind of reacting to things that they are unable to express, and you might not even know it's happening to you because you've ingrained this loop of reactionary stress and not know. So what I found fascinating was that your body will react to something and then your brain catches on. So if we're looking at, let's say somebody yells at you, and what's going to happen is your body's going to have a reaction, likely based on childhood or maybe a traumatic incident that happened as an adult, but they find that adults are able to release them quite a bit easier, and kids can too if it's not often repetitive trauma. So if you're in a dangerous situation for an ongoing period of time, or you felt like you were even in a dangerous situation, it will be harder. So this dangerous thing, this trigger happens, your body does a certain amount of things. Maybe you disassociate, maybe you have no energy, maybe you can't think. You feel disconnected, you don't have feelings. These are all things that would happen in the hypoarousal zone, where you are frozen. Like, that's the freeze response, and you just don't know how to get out of that. And I have no problem saying that this is where I have spent a good chunk of my time without even realizing it. And there are techniques that you can do, but when you get into those freeze modes or the flight mode, the fight one's a little more expressive, but again, you've got to be able to allow that the expression of the emotion to play out in a safe way and let it move on. When we're doing this type of work, it's important to know that what you're feeling about something, that thing that always gets you, is likely, and you've never been able to figure out, might be something from your past that just hasn't been healed. And there are really, really easy ways to do that. I'm not a therapist or anything like that, but there's breath work that you can do. There's, depending on what you need to do to heal it, like, you can do EMDR to release them, which I've done and has been hugely successful. There's neurofeedback, there is dance, there is yoga, there is theater work, where you are learning to express yourself outside of your own emotions, but learning the human dynamic through other things. There are a lot of different ways you can do it. If you're on your own, there is touch, there is breath work, there is movement, and it doesn't take much, but it all starts with that awareness. So if you're finding yourself in this place where you are wanting to express yourself and you don't know how, and you feel frozen, or you feel that you can't even formulate the thought to express yourself because you're not sure why it's always been like that, which is a place I found myself in quite often, know that it can change. And it can change very quickly with consistent effort over a few months, as is what the studies are starting to show.
Yeah, I would encourage anybody. I mean, we're very pro-therapy on this show. And again, the name of the show is Expression, Not Depression. And the idea is that you shouldn't have to go through things alone. You shouldn't have to keep things inside. Keeping your stress and your worries and your traumas inside can make you physically ill. The science has shown that. So whatever you can do to develop a practice in your life where you allow yourself to feel your feelings is going to be something that can actually improve your mental health. People think that crying is going to make them feel worse or it's going to like ruin their day more, when actually getting that feeling out, and just even if it's like a 10-minute cry in the shower, kind of getting that feeling out, you will notice that you feel lighter and better afterwards. If you don't feel better, you might have some more cries to come out. But just taking the time to think about it, think about the last time you've said how you felt, expressed how you felt, the last time you've cried, the last time you've expressed anger, and realize that expressing it is okay as long as you don't hurt yourself or anyone else. And that this can be a pathway to improving your mental health.
I think when we're starting out with these expressions, it really is important to just lean into it a little bit at a time, if you can. Because I think there's this pressure that comes up to let it all out at once, which I know is something that maybe my type A personality kind of felt like needed to happen. But in the reality is that there's kind of a file folder of things that need to be felt, and you kind of just take one out at a time. And it's not that scientific. It's just, you know, you might feel sad about something that happened 20 years ago, or it might be 20 minutes ago, and you let the tears out, or, you know, you do whatever feels right. You talk to yourself, you cry in the shower, call a friend, whatever you need to do to express yourself. And then that will feel better. And then the next thing will come up. But if you're hearing this right now and you're like, that means I got more to do, you do. But until you start processing this stuff, you're just backlogging the stuff that's happening now. So it makes more sense to you to start doing this, because the part I didn't touch on is that they're finding all these diseases are from the lack of expression in our emotions. We're not expressing ourselves. We're keeping everything inside, and we're seeing skyrocketing illnesses around, like, you know, people's hearts are doing worse, prostates, like there's these expressions that our bodies are meant to do, and they're not. And we're, you know, cancer's on the rise and all these terrible things that I don't like to talk about or give energy to. But it feels to me like we should have fixed a lot of these things a long time ago with the medicines that we have. And maybe there's something else. And to me, I know when I express myself, you know, you get it off your shoulders, the expression. I definitely feel lighter on my shoulders when I express myself.
Yeah, I think it's good. I think really the overall point and intention of this episode is to encourage people to feel their feelings. We also have another episode called Feeling Your Feelings, but it's so important that we'll probably just keep talking about it again and again and again, whether you identify as male or female. Crying is okay. Feeling sad is okay. All of these things are normal emotions. These are things we make sure that our sons know, in addition to our daughters. And we just really try to encourage a lot of feeling the feelings around here, because we know from our experiences that it really, truly can help you to feel better.
Are you feeling stuck in your life right now, kind of not sure where to go or what your next steps are? We've created a coaching program for you to help you discover your path, and we call it 5 weeks to Future You. What you'll get is 2-to-1 coaching with Catherine and I over 5 weeks while we help you figure out what the next steps are in your life. We offer a complimentary call. You just have to go to 5yearyou.com to check it out and set up your call with us to see if we're a good fit. I know from my own experience that it is incredibly hard to do this on your own. And that's why we're offering these coaching calls. We're only going to work with 5 people at a time to make sure that we can give you the attention that you truly deserve. So head on over to 5yearyou.com to get started. Absolutely. And if you're on the other side of this, if you're the person that is the emotion is being expressed to, allow the person to express it. I think one of the things that, Kat, you've really helped me with is to not try to fix it, which is very much, I don't know if it's a masculine energy or whatever it is, but there's this part that comes up that if I see somebody hurt, I really want to help. And I have had to learn over the years that being that safe place to land is the important part, not solving it. They're going to figure once the emotions come out and all the things happen, a solution will present itself and it doesn't have to be your solution. Just hold that space. And once I recognized that that's kind of quote unquote all I had to do, it got a lot easier when people started to share their emotions with me because I didn't feel that overwhelming burden to help that person to stop crying or to stop being angry. It was, this isn't normal. This is natural. This is healthy. Mm-hmm. Express yourself. I'm just going to hold that space for you while you're here and doing that because I care about you.
Yeah, I love that very, very much. All right, we're getting to the end of the episode. This is when we usually do our glimmers, which are sparkly, happy things that we just felt like sharing with you. This is probably the place I should have said, see more. So that was my glimmer. I'm just counting it as that, as my little tip or something that's working for us over here. But what's your glimmer, Andrew?
So after reading that very, very heavy book, a book was in my Audible that I don't remember buying called The Secret Language of the Body, which was a nice, very quick read. And it was very actionable. It had exercises to do stuff. And just in doing their 3-step thing of awareness, interruption, and reprogramming, it has radically transformed my energy, my moods, and I feel more me than I ever have in my life. And that is saying something quite a bit. So I'll leave that in the show notes too. It's called The Secret Language of the Body. You can find it on Audible or on Amazon. And it's so good. I know I encourage you to read it too, just because I think there's so many useful steps for not only us, but for kids, for friends, for clients, for everybody. It's just it opened my eyes in a way that I really wish I had just read that book and not The Body Keeps Score. Not that it was a bad book. It was just very, very theoretical and hard. So yeah, that's my glimmer for this week, is that I found a really good book that's really going to help.
Awesome. Well, thanks for sharing. All right. I think that's it for this episode. And of course, tune in next time. We're glad you're here. And thanks for tuning in.
We'll see you next time, folks. Take care.
Bye.
Hey, guys. Quick disclaimer. We're podcasters on the internet. If you need to seek professional help, please go see your healthcare professional.